Running a business is no cakewalk, but with SAP Concur Solutions, you can be ready for anything. You can manage travel, expenses, and AP all on one platform that's packed with AI and best practices, and that delivers it all through an easy, clear, I can't believe how simple that is experience. So, while not much can be done about that guy who never fails to burn the microwave popcorn and stink up the entire office, with SAP Concur, you can easily handle almost anything else. Take control of your business finances today at concur.com. That's concur.com.
It's brand new season two. I'm Marissa Thalberg.
And I'm Stephen Wolf Bedatum. And we're excited to be back having bigger, bolder, and always real conversations.
Straight from the C-suite front lines of marketing, media, and more.
We have great friends joining from people you may know like Wilmer Valderrama and Bobby Burke.
And people you'll want to know. So grab a coffee or, hey, even an Aperol Spritz and come join us on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Listen to Brand New on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi there, I'm Bob Pittman, Chairman and CEO of iHeartMedia. I'm excited to announce a new season of my podcast, Math and Magic, Stories from the Frontiers of Marketing. Our guests this season show us big risk can yield big rewards, like Rob Reilly, the creative head of one of the world's leading advertising firms.
I try to create environments where anybody can say anything without any judgment.
Listen to a brand new season of Math and Magic on our very own iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Brought to you by the reinvented 2012 Camry. It's ready. Are you?
Get in touch with technology with Tech Stuff from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the podcast. My name is Chris Paulette. I'm an editor here at How Stuff Works. And sitting next to me, as always, is senior writer Jonathan Strickland.
Hey there. That was just for you, Chris.
Thanks.
You're welcome.
I appreciate that. You sure that's you and not somebody else?
I'm pretty sure it's me this time.
Uh-huh. You look like you, but I can't tell.
Yeah, we wanted to talk today about kind of an insidious problem that's on the internet. Although it didn't officially, start on the internet. It's actually older than the internet is. But we're talking about phishing scams, and that's phishing with a PH.
Yeah, that's true. These are social engineering scams. They're little ploys designed to trick you into giving away your personal information.
Yeah, and the bait that they use, which is part of why it's called phishing, it usually plays upon your baser personality traits, let's say, like greed. That's a big one. In fact, that's probably the main one. But other ones like vanity also play a part in certain phishing scams. So let's talk about a couple. I wanted to talk about probably the best known scam, especially when it comes to email scams, which is the Nigerian email scam or the 419 scam.
Well, I was actually contacted by somebody in Nigeria. And,
were you?
Yeah. And they said if I just gave them some personal information, they would wire me millions of dollars.
Yeah, that's the basis for this scam. Now, the original scam was not a phishing scam originally. It was just so that you would send them money. So you would wire this person money directly. But they would not have access to your personal information, just your money. So, hey, there's a bright side, right? But they have kind of evolved since then. And often you will find these emails. They're called Nigerian scams because a lot of them do seem to originate from Nigeria. Not all of them. They could be from anywhere. It's just that's the name they've been given. And the claim is that there is an enormous sum of money that they're trying to get. This person is trying to get out of whatever country they're in, and they want to use you as an accomplice to hold on to this money, and you get to keep a portion of that money as part of the deal. And as the deal goes on, things start to mess up and the person says, ooh, you know, I've got to bribe this official. I'm going to need $1,000 from you so that I can bribe this person. And then we'll be able to get you the millions and millions of dollars. And with that promise of millions of dollars, lots of people are willing to part with substantial sums of money, thinking they're going to get practically something for nothing. And there are people who have lost hundreds of thousands of dollars in these scams.
That's true. It's kind of impressive, the list of people who have gotten caught by these scams,
yeah,
including a Harvard professor a few years ago who was ensnared by one of these ploys. They actually found out he had been embezzling a little bit himself, and well, he lost it all when he sent it to Nigeria.
Right. Yeah, it's one of those things that just it's just evil scheme that has taken lots of money from people who were a little naive and a little greedy and way too trusting. So lesson one, don't trust everything you see on the internet. That's probably the best thing to keep in mind while we're talking about all these phishing schemes.
Yeah, like the old saying goes, if it seems too good to be true,
it probably is. Yeah, definitely.
But I always, one of the sort of asides for this part of the our discussion is the people that have started counter scamming the scammers,
yes,
which just tickles me no end. They're you can do a quick search on the internet and you can find people who are they respond to these scammers and they'll say, well, sure, you know, I'm happy to help you out, but first I need this from you. And they'll make them do these elaborate things. I saw somebody who made them carve a Commodore 64 out of wood.
Right.
And
nice.
Send it to them. And they showed pictures of it and it was amazing.
Right. Know? So the people on the other end of the scam can sometimes be just as naive as the people they're trying to lure into the trap. And to get back into the phishing thing, the Nigerian scam, the way it's evolved is instead of asking for money, they'll ask for things like your social security number or your bank account number. And then once they have that information, that's when you're really in trouble, because not only will they siphon out all the money in your account, but they might also make you a victim of identity theft. That's the main goal for probably most of the phishing schemes online, I would say, is some form of identity theft, usually some sort of credit card fraud or just outright theft of whatever's in your bank account.
I use a webmail, a pretty standard, well-known webmail service for my main email account. If you look in the spam folder, it's pretty obvious that these things are scams, because I honestly, every time I look in the spam folder and it'll be a full folder, you'll see probably about a third of those have similar or the same exact, subject headings.
Yeah.
And they'll all be, you know, please, sir, help me with my problem, or, you know, bless you. You have the way to help my, you know, situation out.
Right.
And you're going, okay, obviously there's something going on here. And, you know, bank accounts, they'll say, you know, I'll get letters from banks that I never have had an account with saying, you must update your account information as soon as possible. Otherwise,
right,
you know, or PayPal, you know, and I'm going, yeah, no, I know you're not real.
That's
the thing is, they've gotten really sophisticated. They're getting a lot better about it. Fewer spelling mistakes and things.
And including your name.
Yeah. And things that might have clued you in before.
Right.
You know,
they're starting to close those holes that were in their approaches before.
Right.
You mentioned the bank thing. That's actually a very good point. That's another one that plays on not so much a negative personality trait, but it plays on a person's fear.
Yeah.
You know, because if you get a message that's from your bank account or your bank and it says that there's a problem with your account, obviously you're going to immediately want to try and address this problem. And there's a kind of a sister technique to phishing called farming, also with a PH, which spoofs a website. The goal here is to create a website that looks identical to a real, respectable, legitimate website. So a bank, we'll say. That's a good example.
Mm-hmm.
But the goal is not to let you access your account, but rather to collect usernames and passwords. And it's the same sort of end goal as phishing. It's collecting all this information and then just stealing everything you can possibly steal. These are... these are kind of scary things. I mean, that's really, and anyone can fall victim to it. It's very easy to read one of these emails and get emotionally involved and act before you can really think things through.
Yeah, and there's some ways that you can kind of tell that these sites are real or not. You should always look, when somebody tries to get you to go to one of these sites, take a look at the URL.
Yes.
And that's going to be one of the first clues, because a lot of the phishing emails that you'll see will ask you to click on this link. And if you mouse over it, you know, just hold your mouse cursor there and look at the location for the site. A lot of times you'll see that it doesn't even have the name of the site that you're supposed to go to.
Right.
In it. So that's a pretty good clue right there.
Yeah.
Or it'll be the name hyphen something else, and you'll go, okay, this seems a little odd.
Yeah, you want to see if the website has security. That usually you can tell that by either looking for the little lock icon or the HTTPS in the URL. Keep in mind that both of those can be faked.
True.
You can even create a fake website that has a fake URL that looks just like the real one. There's a nasty attack called a domain name server poisoning, where you can spoof the whole thing, and that's probably the scariest of all of them, because in most of these cases, a good point of advice is, instead of clicking on a link to take you to whichever site you need to go to, like let's say Amazon or PayPal, you type the address in instead. And that way you don't have to worry about a link redirecting you to another site. However, with the DNS poisoning, it is possible to fool computers so that even if you were to type the address in, you will go to the farming site instead of the real site. Not very widespread, but it is possible. This is one of those major, major security leaks that came out over the year 2008.
Mm-hmm.
And fortunately, right now, it hasn't become a major problem. It's just the potential for disaster.
Right.
So, phishing and farming, these are things that you definitely need to look out for. There's some other general rules. If you ever get a message from your browser saying that the certificate it's asking for does not match the URL, that is a huge warning. That you should never agree to accept a certificate if it gives you that message. That's a pretty good indication that you're in a farmed site.
That's true. And it will usually tell you specifically what that URL is. And if you look at that in that pop-up window that you'll get, you're going to see that the URL doesn't necessarily match. And in some cases, it will make sense to you. You know, there are some legitimate cases where it might be a little different.
Right.
But you should be able to look at that and puzzle it out for yourself and go, does not make sense to me that this would go to this URL. I don't think this is safe.
Right.
And there are some the newer browsers have some anti-phishing technology built into them.
Yes. Yeah, that's true. And we should also go ahead and move on to, we were going to talk about some social networking sites recently that have had some issues with phishing attacks. Now these are a little different. It's a step further away from any money. You know, you're not giving someone the information to your bank. However, if someone phishes your information from a social networking site, they may end up getting a password that works for other websites. If you're the kind of person who creates the one password and uses that for everything, if you get tricked once, that means your information is vulnerable everywhere you go. So that's one of good reason to make sure you use different passwords for different websites, which is a pain. I know it's a pain, especially if you have a lot of websites you go to, but it's really important to do if you want to remain safe online.
That's true. And there are some, pretty sophisticated, password storage sites that are available now.
Yeah.
Some of them will help you manage your logins. They'll offer a plugin for things like Firefox, browsers like Firefox. You can plug it in and it will, when you go to a site, it will allow you to store, passwords. And some of them will even allow you to generate, new passwords. So it'll be, you know, you can generate something with lots of different, upper and lowercase characters and numeric
right.
things
exactly.
and basically help you to come up with something really tricky. And you won't necessarily have to remember it because the plugin has it stored for you.
Right. And, going back to the social media stuff, Facebook and Twitter both have had some problems with phishing attacks recently. And recently, I mean the end of 2008 and beginning of 2009. Facebook, actually one of my friends on Facebook was victim to this. He was suddenly sending out all these messages to people saying, "Hey, you know, you look really funny in this video. I can't believe you did this, blah, blah, blah." And then there's a link. And the link takes you to a site that looks like a video site, and it tells you, "Hey, you know what? You need this plugin in order to play the video. Click here." And if you were to click there, you would immediately download some malware onto your computer. And so, in this case, it's not necessarily to steal your information, but, it was a malware delivery system, which could theoretically also help steal your information. It could be a key logger. It could be a Trojan. It's all sorts of things, nasty things that could happen to you by following these links. So we did let him know that his account was compromised, and he ran some software and he changed his passwords, and things seem to be okay with his account now. But I've seen it happen two or three other times with other people.
Yeah, and the pernicious thing is, on Facebook, if you haven't used Facebook before, if you're posting something to somebody else's what they call the wall,
right?
You have to be a friend of that person
exactly.
in order to do that. So there's already that aura of trust going on. You say, well, this must be legitimate, you know, and even though there may be spelling errors or the grammar they use may not be the same way that this person would normally write to you, you might say, well, you know, obviously it's not somebody else because they're writing on my wall. So it must be legitimate. Well,
right.
That's the thing, is those people are falling prey to the phishing attack, and then other people fall prey to it, and that's
and so
you know, social
on.
Engineering.
And so on.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, Twitter was very much the same way. A few Twitter accounts were compromised in a way that, as of the recording of this podcast, we're just not sure exactly how the initial takeover happened. But after that, direct messages started going between Twitter users. And just like in Facebook, to send a direct message in Twitter, you have to follow the person you're sending the message to, and they have to follow you back. It can't just be a one-way street. It has to be, you know, mutual following. Then you can send a direct message, which is a private message. It doesn't go on the public Twitter broadcast. And these private messages said things like, "Oh, you won't believe what this person said about you in this blog." And, you know, being the kind of vain people we are, we Twitter users, I include myself in that.
You mean humans?
Yeah. But in particular, people who use Facebook and Twitter, there's a few studies that suggest that such users have a little bit of a narcissistic tendency. Well, you feel inclined to click on this. And of course, that ends up delivering malware to your computer. So, we're probably going to see a lot more of these, especially as people, you know, people who think it's funny, like the Twitter stuff. A lot of the things I saw were just people messing with other people's Twitter accounts so that they were making them say ridiculous and, you know, scandalous things and completely untrue things, but they weren't using it to necessarily steal information. They were just making a nuisance of themselves. But we'll probably see more of that too.
Yeah. Yeah. As a matter of fact, there were several high profile accounts that were hacked right on the heels of that phishing scheme, like, President-elect Barack Obama.
Right. And Britney Spears.
Britney Spears, Fox News, Rick Sanchez from CNN.
I believe Rick Sanchez claimed, according to his Twitter account, that he had, taken some crack early in the morning and was, kind of flying high at the time.
Yeah. Yep.
That was a bad one.
Yeah. And patently, you know.
Completely
fake.
Untrue. Yeah.
Yeah,
it was not Rick Sanchez. It was whomever had taken over his account.
But, apparently in that case, Twitter founder Biz Stone said that there were some tools, administrative tools that had gotten, hacked into.
Right.
That would allow someone to access passwords. And there were 33 accounts. They haven't divulged at this time, at the time of us recording this, who all was hacked, but they were all famous people
with lots and lots of followers.
Yeah, who had,
right.
You know,
I mean, they were the obvious targets.
Yeah.
And, this is and so don't think that President-elect Obama saw, "Hey, see what this crazy person said in a blog about you," and then clicked on it.
Yeah.
That's not the case. In this case, he was targeted specifically by the hackers. This wasn't one of those things where Obama's just like, "Huh, I wonder what this blogger did say about me." just to clear that up. I wanted to talk very briefly about what you should do if you are the victim of a phishing attack.
Okay.
Okay, so there are a few different websites you can report a phishing attack to. One of them is the antiphishing.org website, and you can send an email to reportphishing@antiphishing.org. You can also send an email to the Federal Trade Commission, which is the correct email address to send that to would be spam@uce.gov. And you would probably want to file a complaint with the FBI at their Internet Crime Complaint Center, which is at www.ic3.gov. And it's important to let these organizations know so that they can let everyone else know and investigate. Meanwhile, you should also immediately contact the three big credit bureaus. So Experian, Equifax, and TransUnion.
Right.
And get a hold of your credit report, take a look at it, see if there's anything strange on there, report the fraud to them. If you have evidence of fraud, you should use that so that you can get the fraud alert extended over the maximum amount of time, because standard time for a fraud alert is 90 days.
Right.
And the problem with that is someone could still be using your information after those 90 days and you'd really be stuck. So if you have proof of fraud, you can get that extended up to, I think, 7 years. Mm-hmm. Which, you know, it sounds kind of crazy, but, you know, we're talking about your information that can affect your credit rating, whether or not you can buy a house, whether or not you get a job. I mean, this is important stuff.
Yep.
And also report the crime to local law enforcement. If it happened, you know, if it happened while you were at home, of course, that's, you know, you'd report to that local law enforcement. If you're on vacation, whatever, you report to them, just to let them know what had happened. That kind of covers all the bases. You may have to sign some affidavits to make sure that, you know, you will stand up in court and defend and say this is exactly what happened.
Yep.
But that's a small price to pay, considering.
Yeah, I think so. And, you know, this is, as Jonathan said, this is not something that you want to take lightly. Just use your common sense. Avoid clicking on links that don't appear to be correct. Go directly to the source if you can to find it. Use the latest web browsers that incorporate the anti-phishing technology. All these things will help you avoid being sucked in.
Right.
And it's amazing to me how many of these deep sea analogies we have now that we've talked about trolling and phishing.
Right.
So
it's
don't be a prawn.
You know what else? Oh, nice. Nice. Also, piracy.
Right.
So we've got a whole seafaring thing going.
Yeah.
Well, I think that about wraps it up for this discussion, don't you?
Yeah.
Excellent. If you want to learn more about some of the things we've talked about, we've got articles on online crime. We have articles on safe web browsing. You can
phishing.
Phishing. Yes. Both PH and F, I believe.
Yes.
You can find out all about that at howstuffworks.com right now. And we'll talk to you again really soon.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit howstuffworks.com. Let us know what you think. Send an email to podcast@howstuffworks.com.
Brought to you by the reinvented 2012 Camry. It's ready. Are you?
Running a business is no cakewalk, but with SAP Concur Solutions, you can be ready for anything. You can manage travel, expenses, and AP all on one platform that's packed with AI and best practices, and that delivers it all through an easy, clear, I can't believe how simple that is experience. So, while not much can be done about that guy who never fails to burn the microwave popcorn and stink up the entire office, with SAP Concur, you can easily handle almost anything else. Take control of your business finances today at concur.com. That's concur.com.
It's brand new season two. I'm Marissa Thalberg.
And I'm Stephen Wolf at Adam. And we're excited to be back having bigger, bolder, and always real conversations.
Straight from the C-suite front lines of marketing, media, and more.
We have great friends joining from people you may know, like Wilmer Valderrama and Bobby Burke.
And people you'll want to know. So grab a coffee or, hey, even an Aperol Spritz and come join us on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Listen to brand new on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi there, I'm Bob Pittman, Chairman and CEO of iHeartMedia. I'm excited to announce a new season of my podcast, Math and Magic, Stories from the Frontiers of Marketing. Our guests this season show us big risk can yield big rewards, like Rob Riley, the creative head of one of the world's leading advertising firms.
I try to create environments where anybody can say anything without any judgment.
Listen to a brand new season of Math and Magic on our very own iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.